Log Talk Radio.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black radio networks that addresses issue and explores solutions for the black community, presents Black Urban America. All you people on listen by laptops and computers, if you have a question or a comment, you may dial 516-531-9540. That is 516-531-9540. The lineup for the week, as usual, we have on Tuesdays, which is today, we have Black Urban America. I'm your host, Kenny Jones, with the co-host, Michelle Williams. On Wednesdays, we have The Cutting Edge with Michelle Williams. On Thursday, we have Port of Harlem with Wayne A. Young. And on Saturday, we have Provocative Thought with Carter Sneeds. All shows begin at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tonight, I will not be hosting the show. I'm leaving that up to my co-hosts, and they are going to be discussing a serious issue. And we have, hold on, let's see if she's on the line. We're just waiting for her. Let me see if she's on the line. Oh, yeah, she finally arrived. Okay. Tonight, they're going to be discussing missing person and sex trafficking in the black neighborhood. As a guest, we have Sister Shakur and Michelle Williams doing the show. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Sister Shakur,
Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, right back at you. I am going to, already we got a couple of calls. Callers, just be patient while you two ladies go through their discussion, and we'll be ready for callers. I turn it over to you.
Okay, how do you pronounce your first name? Lasady? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, callers, like Kenny mentioned, we will be discussing missing persons and sex trafficking in the black community. And good evening and welcome to the show. I would like to start by saying, like, in the United States, cases involving people of color are less likely to be solved compared with cases involving white people. And according to the Black and Missing Foundation, a nonprofit organization that raises awareness about missing people of color across the country, stated that the number of missing people of color is disproportionately higher, and their stories are often underrepresented nationally in conversations and in the mainstream media. So, what would you like to ask?
Thank you for having me. So my name is Lasady Shakur. I am the commander for a Black Militant Crisis Response Network, Sisters of the Underground. We respond to missing person searches, sex trafficking alerts, domestic violence calls, sexual assault, hate crimes, stalking, and gang violence. We offer relocation services, victim advocacy, community outreach, healing circles, and community mobilization. These services are provided across all 50 states. It is a network that is fairly new. However, we have had great success within the last couple of months here. It is myself and three other sisters that are leading this network, Sister Chantel, Sister Cassandra, and Sister Janine. they're actually on the line now, and I wanted to kind of bring them in so that we can go further into who we are, what we do, and what we need from the community to make sure that this network is built correctly, effective, and that we're able to achieve success with it, because it's a very much needed network that we need to have across all 50 states. It is not something that I believe can only be successful in one state. This is something that is absolutely necessary in every Black community.
Sister Shakira, totally, what's the last four numbers of their telephone numbers?
Hang on.
So I can chime in, because they might be waiting on the line now. I want to chime them in.
Yes. One should be 1456.
Okay.
Hello, okay.
Yes, hold on for a second. We try to get this other person in. What's the other four numbers?
The other one should be 5120.
Okay.
And 3057.
3057. Okay.
So are they on the line now?
Yeah. Are you guys in? Can you hear me? Can you hear the...
Yes, I
can hear you.
I
have it muted.
Okay, thank you for joining us. And I'm glad you all are here. So I would like to hear more about what you do, how you all got started, and tell us all about it. And also, we want information how, like, do you have a national number? Because you did say it was for 50 states that you can give out to our listeners.
So right now we have the 50 states divided into four regions, and we have those phone numbers available.
Okay.
I'm sorry. One second.
Well, you can get back to the numbers. Okay. What I would like to know, okay, this is very much needed, and I didn't realize how many women of color or Black people, period, that have come up missing. So, you know, we would like to hear this information and tell us all about what you all are doing and how you are helping and all of that. And another thing I would like you all to answer in there, why isn't there a lot of media coverage when it comes to Black people when they go missing?
So I'm going to let Sister Cassandra go ahead. She's our missing person advocate. So we're going to let her go ahead and speak on that.
Hello, hello, peace, peace.
Hello.
I am Cassandra, as you guys know. I honestly really wish the community would push more when you have a missing person. I've discovered just through my own experiences that when we have missing persons, that police, is true, they disproportionately don't report us. They don't take our cases seriously. And if you as a family in a community don't apply pressure and get awareness out there, the chances of saving or helping your loved one is slim to none. So it's very important from the door, apply pressure to any agencies that are supposed to help you. But more importantly, you want to make sure you encourage your community to do the same, because that's how I've learned to get results.
Okay, why does law enforcement stereotype Black people and accuse them of being involved with criminal activity when they go missing? And normally this isn't the case. Hello?
Sister Janae, can you go ahead and answer that question?
Would you like me to repeat the question?
Question was for Janae. That's why I didn't answer. I apologize.
Okay, it was, however you all want to answer, why does law enforcement stereotype black people and accuse them of being involved with criminal activity when they go missing, and normally this is not the case?
I don't know. I wish that, you know, in my heart space, I genuinely feel like we don't matter to them. I feel like our value is not what it is for peoples of other color, for lack of a better term. I think that they have already stereotyped us and who and what we are and what we'll do, et cetera, and the reason why we don't have the assistance that we need.
Well, what role does
like
social status?
I would like to add
okay,
something to that, too.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
This is Chantel. Just upon reading a lot of stats and stuff, I've read and then just through observation that if your child has ran away or left home before, then they're not considered as important when you really need them. I mean, you know, you really need them anytime your child is missing, because that's a scary thing for your child to be just gone. By the time you find out, 2 hours went by, 4 hours went by. But a lot of these cases, the child has left home before and the parent reported. So then when they're reported again, they're not taken serious because it's just, oh, they just left home. They'll be back. So a lot of these cases are started up on that because they, you know, they have previous ran away. So they don't take it as important this time.
Do we have Sister Black Rose on the line? Okay. We're going to ask Sister Janae if you want to follow up to that question and give us your opinion on that.
Yes, this is Sister Janae. I'm the East Coast conductor of the Sisters of the Underground. I'm also the local chairman of the Washington, D.C. chapter of the New Black Panther Party for self-defense under the leadership of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, our ancestor resting, and Minister Hashim Afanatni Zinga. We currently don't have a national chairman at the time. But we continue to hold the line for black and oppressed people. It's been our study here in Washington, D.C. We work alongside with the murdered and missing Sister Black Rose. Anytime we get a missing child or for the, in the black community, they always label them as runaways. They don't get the attention. They may get a flyer. There's nobody out doing a search team. There's nobody wanting to call the FBI or anything like that. So we have been first responders here in the D.C. and the DMV area for when we get clues about human trafficking or prostitution rings and things like that. We work hand-in-hand with other community advocates to try to find these missing children. And we do have a sister that's holding, Sister Black Rose, to give you more of the details about the statistics of how many black and missing children, women and children there are. It's phenomenal. But there's no attention being brought to this. So this is why the Sisters of the Underground has been formed within our own different formations and things like that. So we can create an underground network of people who are actively searching and looking for our children, because if you research it, there is nobody looking for our babies. We still looking for Relisha Rudd, and it's been almost 10 years since that child has been missing.
What's Sister Rose's last four numbers of her telephone number? What's Sister Rose's last four numbers?
Okay, her number is 2904. Do you see that in the queue? 202 number, or maybe 301.
I got it. I have her.
Oh, yeah, she can give us all the details on, you know, why these
Yes, I'm here.
Sister Rosewell.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you all for inviting me to this panel to talk about missing persons. I'm Black Rose. I do a radio show surrounding the cases of the missing and murdered. I work with cases all over this country. I have a coalition of dedicated advocates who share the many stories of our missing persons. I was listening in and I heard, you know, why they label our children runaway and all of that. Well, for one thing, law enforcement agency does not even consider missing persons as a crime. That's number one. I know that in the District of Columbia, when it comes to missing persons, we have moved kind of away from labeling these children as runaways, even though we know of a lot of the situations. Right now, we have 20 open missing person cases in the District of Columbia. Most of these children have basically left a situation from a foster home or either the facility Sasha Bruce, which a lot of the troubled children, they have weekend passes and things of that nature, and a lot of them just don't return. That's one thing.
I have a question about that. The foster care? Because in my research and them talking about foster care, I didn't realize how much abuse that a lot of Black children and children in general received in foster care.
Yeah, they receive a lot of abuse in foster care, and a lot of them run away from situations like that, as well as being put into sex trafficking. Last year, 2020, one out of every six Black person, women, that was reported missing was put into sex trafficking. And that was last year's total. It takes sometimes, it takes at least 2 years to compile this information. So I'm working on 2020's information and gathering statistics as I go along, because like I said, I deal with a lot of these cases. My cases are not just here in the DMV area. I deal with cases all over the country. So it's the statistics and numbers are very high. Sex trafficking has became one of the many levels of missing persons. And some years, you know, we might have a drop in it and in sex trafficking connected with missing persons. And then some years we might have a, you know, a very high number of it. You know, this year alone, there have been a lot of sex trafficking raids. They have been finding children all over the place. And when it comes to the states where the sex trafficking stats are very high, the states have changed. Like we have Ohio, and it has moved up in the numbers versus last year and the year before. We have places like Mississippi. Nevada has always been one that's high. And California stays at number one, and it has stayed at number one like for the last past 10 years.
Yeah, I read that. And I also read that 86% of the likely sex trafficking victims were in the care of social services when they went missing.
Yes, and that's a fact. That's a fact, but we have to think about it. When it comes to sex trafficking recruitment, 41% of sex trafficking recruitment is from family members and people close to the family. 11% of that is intimate partners.
I read that also.
So with, you know, It just varies. And right now, like I said, we have a very high number of sex trafficking issues, even though they have not, gotten all of the numbers together. I'm in Prince George's County right now, Prince George's County, Maryland, and the state of Maryland, they don't even compile the numbers of adults that goes missing, and it takes 2 years for them to compile the number of children who go missing in the state of Maryland.
That is what absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So why do you think we have the highest percentage that is affected by sex trafficking?
Because we have a lot of it going on within our own communities and people are not paying attention. A lot of times we see these things, we know that a child is going through a situation. We see them walking up and down our streets. We see them going and older adults housing them in their homes. It starts with us.
Absolutely.
And like I said, with the recruitment of sex trafficking being 41%, and it comes from parents and people close to the family, that's really sad. I mean, that's
how does ivory play a role?
Huh?
I'm sorry. How does economics in the Black community play a role in their numbers for the highest in sex trafficking?
Because the economics, because it's not jobs, these kids are being put in, and people, women are being put into situations where, they have to fend for themselves. If they can't get a job or there's no job training programs in the communities, it's just a lot of, reasons why. And a lot of it is because they just don't have the money and they have to find... Some of them use that, as their only alternatives. I know of women who go out searching for a pimp.
Yes.
They can be doing it by themselves and making their own money alone, but, just the thought, I don't know what they think, but I know several, that go out and they search for a pimp. I guess thinking, that they're going to make more money or whatever the case may be, or maybe protection or, all of that stuff. But it's not having the programs. It starts at home. It's these, parents put these children in really bad situations, where they make them have to, go and fend for themselves. I have found young girls in the streets and stuff, located young women, and had them tell me, my dad told me, I have a PUSSY, so go out there and make money. I should never be broke.
Unfortunately, I've heard that same line before. I do several speaking engagements here locally in my city, and the reason why I actually started working with sex trafficking victims and prostitution is because of that very same statement. I did a speaking engagement, and there were several young women there, teenagers. The oldest one had to be only about 23, and it was a no judgment, type of environment. And I asked them, "Why are you doing this?" And surprisingly, each one of them said, because of the money. They can go get these designer purses. They can go get luxury vehicles, purchase big homes. Some of them make quite a bit of money doing this. And I was very distraught with how much pride that they took with choosing this lifestyle. And I said to myself that it has to be a better way for them. And like you said, it does start at home, but when you don't have that solid foundation at home to teach you alternative ways, how do you get around that? That's where our community comes into play.
We have to make sure we have these you know, have programs and things. You know, I call it the aftermath, right? Because, like I said, I locate a lot of young girls, and I get them home, right? And they have those, the parents have those same issues. And I'm talking about, you know, I locate girls that, you know, because they're being sheltered by their parents, they can have a household where they have a two-parent household. Both of them work,
absolutely.
You know, doing well in life. They have a nice home to live in, food every day, but because they keep them sheltered, you know, and not talking about, you know, different things, teaching them things, and they're telling them all of the bad stuff in life. You know, we are, when we're children, we're like inquisitive. We want to go and find out ourselves, you know, so it's like, we got to put some programs, you know, we got to fight for them, you know, and we don't talk about those things, you know, where we need programs and stuff in these communities, you know, like I said, participating and going out and getting in these people's faces and making them do the jobs that we hire them to do every time we elect them, you know. I go down when outside was open, you know, I made it my business to go, especially, you know, doing research on sex trafficking and missing persons all over this country. You know, we have all 100 senators here in the DMV, right? And you can go down there. I used to make appointments and go down there, and I would write up a letter, and I would go put it right in their face and let them know what's going on and tell these stories, because a lot of times, you know, they not getting that. They not getting, you know, what's really going on out there, that, you know, this type of stuff. They're not getting it. They're not getting it at all because there's nobody really talking about it. And one thing, we got to let, you know, make people understand that missing persons is a crime. They don't even look at it as a crime. We have situations where 92% of men that go missing, right, 92% of men that go missing, most of the times is a homicide involved.
Yes.
That's a very high number, but people don't talk about that. That's a crime. So we have to, you know, and then getting people to understand that, because when you look at a lot of these situations with these young kids, I look at the flyers, I get the flyers, and before I get the flyers, I get the backstory. This child might have been went missing on the 11th, but the foster parent or the parent might not have reported them missing until the 15th or the 20th. So we got to move out of that part of it and understand that you don't have to wait 24 hours to report a child missing. Like I said, when it comes to those kids that are reported late, a lot of those kids are in foster care situations. So, of course, you know, they're not going to report them missing if they're trying to keep a check.
Absolutely. And speaking on waiting the 24 to 48 hours, we do know that that is a stigma that goes through the Black community. Well, they're not going to take a report because you have to wait X amount of hours. But if you have a lead, if you have a lead that you can give to the police officer, they are required to go ahead and make that report as soon as you make
exactly.
that phone call.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. If your child, say for instance, you know your child comes home, your child makes it home at 3:30 every day, okay, 3:40 at the most, and your child don't get home at 3:40, you can call the police. You can call the police and you can report that child missing, okay? Or do a welfare person checkup if the person, you know, that's, you can do the same thing if somebody, you haven't seen your neighbor come out the house, you know, or something like that. You can do that. You know, like a lot of people, they just don't do it. And, you know, I'm pleased to say that we are, you know, we share a lot of flyers. I work with Black and Missing Foundation on I have them on CVAL because, you know, they deal with a lot of my cases. We just got finished doing a documentary with HBO, you know, surrounding some of the high-profile cases in the DMV area. So, you know, they have been, oh, my God, they have been somebody that they are my go-to, you know, because I'm working on my own website so that we can have another one, you know, that is centered around our missing. You know, I go, I have to, a lot of times I go, I get in these police's faces. When I'm handling cases, I get the permission from the family. So I have a case number, a report number, and I have the investigator to talk to. So a lot, they don't answer the phones for, you know, these parents, you know, and I have to go down there to the police precinct or call them and really get in their shit because it's like, they don't even really have compassion. And then when we're talking about missing persons and law enforcement agency, D.C., okay, D.C. is one of the only ones that I know of that has a missing person command center, okay, where they specialize in missing persons. They have investigators that deal with missing persons. The whole nine yards is all missing persons. But when you're going to other part, you know, other states and stuff, a lot of them, they don't even have a missing persons unit. And they might have to take a person, a homicide detective, and put them on a missing persons case, or somebody from theft and robbery, carjacking, whatever, and, you know, and put them on missing persons. So, you know, when you have this type of stuff going on, you don't have the compassion from, you know, a person that specializes in that, you know, and that's what I think that we need to really, you know, get into that, like really push to have people that specialize in that, as well as understanding that we have a national database called Name Us. It's a government-run database, and the thing about that is because we have over 4,200 individuals that we find on the highways, byways, wooded areas every year, 1,000 of them go unidentified. We have a government clearinghouse, right, where these police officers are supposed to swab. They can do that if the person don't even have to be, if no time limit for the person to be missing in order for them to, you know, request that the police swab their mouth, you know, and they put that DNA profile into that database. So if, you know, they happen to get a hit, you know, you can maybe identify, but it is 1,000 bodies that go unidentified every year. Police don't push that narrative. You know, they have millions of dollars for real when it comes to resources for missing persons. But because people don't know that, they don't know how to ask for them. Well, I had to learn, you know, all of that stuff. So the cases that I work for, I make sure that I get them as many as resources that are permitted. And sometimes with dealing with these, if you have like issues where, you know, it might be an underwater situation or wooded area, you know, a lot of times you have to get with a search and rescue team because, you know, searching these places, if you're not educated on that, you can mess up a whole crime scene. You know, so it's like educating people on that, knowing the resources that's out here, you know, and that's available for folks, you know, and all of that. So a lot of times they don't know all of that stuff. So it's about talking about it, about talking about all of that and getting all of that stuff, you know, out and keeping this information because it is. It's resources, you know, that's available. Like when older people go missing, they supposed to automatically have a search and recovery team out for older missing person because, you know, they, a lot of them suffer with dementia and things of that nature, just like an autistic child. Autistic children are, they fascinated by bodies of water. So you always have to, you know, it's just knowing and, you know, pushing the narrative. And because we're black and all of that stuff, a lot of times they don't think we know all of these things.
Absolutely. So this is where Sisters of the Underground is trying to reverse that. Most often you hear people say, well, the white people or the Caucasian people,
they do not care about the black missing persons or black victims of crime. So Sisters of the Underground was formed so that we can create our own networking system that can focus on these. But we can't do it with just four sisters. We have to have the help of many people across all these states and these communities. If you know of a missing person, you need to be able to reach us and get us that information so that we can do what we do by getting out there, get community mobilization and providing certain resources to these victims once we find them. What do we do once we find them? We know that they suffer from trauma. They're going to need some type of therapy sessions afterwards. We offer those as well. I have a background in psychology, so for right now, I am the only one that does the therapy session. If you or anyone out there listening has a background in psychology that can come on board and speak with our victims once we help them out, we would love to speak with you. And you can email us at undergroundsisters1@gmail.com. We have several different fields that, you know, everyone can play a part in this. I'm tired of hearing how much the white person don't care about us. It's time to start relying on them to be our saviors. Why do we keep going back and forth? We have to get out there and do this work ourselves. They build these national networks. Why can't we build one for ourselves? Why do we have to relay on their programs when we can create them ourselves? And that is what Sisters of the Underground is striving to do.
In a community who might want to get involved with you all, how can they do so?
So I have those phone numbers for the different regions available, and then they can also email us at undergroundsisters1@gmail.com. And we have four different regions. We have the Southern region, Western region, Midwest, and Eastern. I can provide the phone numbers for the Southern region. The phone number is going to be 308-300-8014. That's the Southern region. Sister Chantel. For the Western region, myself, Sister Shakur, and it's 725-243-6168. For our Eastern region, it's going to be Sister Janae, 202-867-3200. And Midwest is going to be Sister Cassandra. It's 860-484-4057.
That's for Midwest? The Midwest one?
Midwest, yes, Sister Cassandra. And again, the email is undergroundsisters1@gmail.com. You can shoot us an email. We can answer any questions that you may have. We can, you know, go over the different services that we offer, different type of personnel that we would like to put in those positions so that we can execute these. Right, we call them rides because, you know, the underground, we pay homage to our ancestor, Sister Harriet Tubman. So
okay,
we don't
I have
call
a
them
question.
Victims, we call them passengers.
Okay. I have a question that has to do with the sex trafficking. When you all were talking and you mentioned that some of these women say they do it for the money, would you consider them just prostitutes? Or, because with sex trafficking, I thought that, I want you to clear this up for me, it was like, you know, they're doing something against their will.
Well, a lot of times it's not against your will. It's being, how you say, they go through a honeymoon stage, right? They can meet mm-hmm. a guy and he can shower them with all of these different gifts and things of that nature. And then after 2 weeks, you know, he's, you know, putting it out there, you know, basically, you know, well, you want to keep doing, having these nice things and you want to eat well and I'll get you a car and you want to have your bank account promising them all these things. A lot of times they just go for it and they believe it, knowing that it's not going to turn out like that. And then it becomes forceful because a lot of times these women, they know that, you know, they get into that situation and they figure it out and they want to leave and then they can't. Because when you enter in sex trafficking situations, they're asking you for your ID if you have one. You're not supposed to really even use your real name while you're out there on the streets. The underage girls, for sure, you know, they take their identity from them and give them a whole new one. So they programming
absolutely.
These young girls to be absolutely that. They programming them to be just that. Whoever, sugar, you know, honey girl, whatever they call them, you know, they're programming them to be just that, you know. And it when you're in a vulnerable situation where you don't have nothing, because society has tore our young people up, okay? Society has tore our young people up. They see all of this stuff. You know, they get it, you know, a taste of it through the music, through the stuff that they watch on TV, social media, you know, all of that stuff. And they, a lot of them, they're, you know, it's a fantasy to this. But if, as soon as they can get out or somebody offer them an opportunity to do it, they're going to do it. But it's not easy.
Well,
these men,
they prey on them.
Mm-hmm.
These men prey on these young girls that they know that they're having problems in the house. Because I've been on that side, not deep, but as a teenager, I went through just a really bad depression, you know, when I had to leave my mother and go with my father and his wife. I was just a depressed child because they was mistreating me. So I had so many guys that seen that just by the look on my face, the way I walked from school, and they just came at me left and right. And had I not known, because my I grew up with my mom being a prostitute, so I kind of already knew what they were trying to get me involved in. So, but just imagine if I didn't know that I could have just been swept up
sure.
into that, you know. So, you know, they do, they prey on these kids. They, you know, they see you.
Right.
They know that you don't have money. They know you don't have food. They know you don't have clothes. And they offer those things to you. And you think that it's cute. And next thing you know, they put you on drugs. And next thing you know, 10 years then went by.
Yeah, because, see, sex trafficking, it includes forced labor, marriage, prostitution, and organ removal. You know what I'm saying? It's all this, you know, this sex trafficking thing is basically all kinds of exploitation. You know,
right. I know in the Chicago area, a lot of black females, young ones, teenagers, and young black women that have been found murdered and their organs were missing.
Exactly. Do you know how much on the black market a kidney goes for? $260,000. That's what a kidney goes for on black market. when we had that situation with Kanika Jenkins and that whole stuff, you know, down there in Chicago, you know, that was a mess.
Right.
And they had arrested a man, and he did, like a white man, he was selling body parts and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at the number of having 75,000 missing black girls and women, and they, you know, they just don't, you know, disappear off the damn face of the earth. You know that it's, like I said, it's many levels to that. It's many of them, not just sex trafficking, because, you know, what you think happens to these children after they even use them up, you know, and all of that, they wind up killing them. That's why in some places they find dead children's bodies and things of that nature. Like, it's a lot of stuff, you know, that the people don't talk about, you know, because they just don't know, and they don't put no emphasis on it. When you're making 100, when it comes to sex trafficking, that is a $150 billion industry. $99 billion of that money comes from social media exploitation, like, you know, from social media and commercial sex.
Okay, if there are any listeners that would like to call in and ask any questions, dial 516-531-9540 and press 1.
I just want to thank you, ladies. My name is Kenny Jones. I'm a host of Black Urban America. I want to thank you, ladies, for coming on. I just want to tell the listeners, make your questions and comments short, because we have several callers. Please make your comments and statements and questions short. Okay, first up, we have 8051. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I find this topic very interesting. And I know that this has been going on for 50 years. I'm 75. I've even heard about that, what you're talking about, even when I was a young girl. But back then, parents were long time ago, but they watched their children, and it was really hard for somebody to take their kids. But nowadays, the parents are as young as their kids. And a lot of times they are not aware or paying any attention to their kids. They got kids watching kids. But I'd like to commend you ladies for starting up a group. And how would I, if I wanted to have a chapter in my city, how would I go about getting one?
Depending on which region you fall under, you could just give that person a call.
She's under Midwest.
Oh, okay. So I could give you that number again. The Midwestern region is 860-484-4057. And that's going to be Sister Cassandra.
Okay, I got it. Okay, do we have any more callers?
Well, this is Sister Janae. I wanted to just talk about Sisters of the Underground and our funding and how important it is. If everybody is stressed that we need help with this underground network. There are times where we may have to provide transportation or safe housing or food or clothing, resources. Everything we're doing at this stage is in a learning curve. So we made a few little minor hiccups, but we were able to address them and make sure that everything worked out in the best interest of our passengers. we are all a part of the Black Power movement, so we want to stress that we are taking care of our people more than anything. You know, we are taking care of Black and oppressed people. And not just women, but men as well, Black Power. And it, Black Power means what's in the best interest of our people. So we need help with that funding. We do have a cash app. Sister Chantel is our treasurer, right? So, but we really do need donations. We need people to donate and to come forward with safe houses. Maybe you have an empty apartment or an extra bedroom where we could house somebody, maybe for maybe not permanently, but temp to perm or temp to today, so we can get them to another place. We need allies in all 50 states, not just everywhere. We need allies everywhere. We've been fortunate enough to have people that are in our organizations, like the New Black Panther Party and the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, that are close enough to go get the people that call us for help. But there's going to be somebody that's too far away for us to get our hands on overnight. So we want to make sure that we get those people to safety. So if you can email us at undergroundsisters1@gmail.com and say, I want to be a safe house, I want to be an ally, I want to be a conductor, those things like that, if you just want to contribute to the Sisters of the Underground, we would greatly appreciate it, because we have had instances where people just try to exhaust our resources. And they want us to get them a bus ticket, and they want to get a plane ticket, and they want us to pay for a hotel overnight. And we're just starting, so we don't have that right now. You know, and then nobody wants to get stuck with somebody who does not have anywhere to go. You know, so as conductors, our job is with these shelters, and most of the time in the summertime, there is no shelter placement. Especially here in D.C., the only time they will house you is if it's hypothermic weather. You know what I'm saying? Where they have to come and pick you up and make sure that you get into a shelter overnight. But you have got to have your identification. You got to have your paperwork. You got to be focused on starting your whole life and getting out with your life when you call us. Because my extraction teams in the East Coast, they don't play no games. You know, and I have people, my area is from Delaware to Florida. So I have people, fortunately, in each one of the states, the Mid-Atlantic region. I'm also the assistant chairman of the Mid-Atlantic region. So I have people from Virginia, North Carolina, and Maryland. Maryland, Virginia, D.C., and Pennsylvania is my area. And so we can get to you, you know, within 6 hours. But anything outside of that, then we're going to be stuck with people saying that we couldn't help them. So we need more hands on deck. We need more resources. We need more people to get involved. And that's all I got, Black Power.
Okay. Yeah, Black Power. I want to reiterate that Sisters of the Underground, again, our focus is Black communities. We are not a nonprofit. So this system, it can only be successful if we get Black communities involved and help us reach the success that I know that we can reach. We are not looking to become a nonprofit, because there are certain things that we would have to incorporate, and it will take the focus off of just being for Black communities. So it's a lot of red tape with all of that. But this is a program for your community. So we need y'all involved. We need y'all to volunteer. We need y'all to donate. We have a bartering system if you're a business owner, and we have a missing person. If you have a printing business, print us some flyers. If you work at an airline and can get discounts on tickets, we need all of those are things that we can utilize.
Can
So it's not you're speaking about the transportation. I do have some information. I know that Greyhound gives away free bus rides home to kids from the age of 12 to 21. And you can, if you would like, you can write this number down and keep that in mind. It is
1-800-786-2929.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
yes,
you
so
for that number.
Mm-hmm. So they do give free bus rides to runaways and, you know, children going through stuff. And they have to be between the ages of 12 and 21.
Thank
okay,
you.
I got that. You said 800-786-2929?
I wrote it down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. 1-800-786-2929.
Okay.
So
we
yeah,
have
I wanted to
else
piggyback
on
off of Shakur, too.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
go ahead.
Hello. Okay, I wanted to piggyback off of Sister Shakur, too, when she was talking about the barter system. You know, this these organizations, they have to become a household name.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start talking about these topics every single day. We have to find out the people in our community and what they can help volunteer to do, because there are a lot of people that their children have left home. They got 2 and 3 bedrooms left. But unless we start talking about these topics in the community, no one's going to know.
Right.
Or be able to
yeah.
help us, you know.
And it doesn't just have to be your home. If you have a church or a certain area of your church that you're not using, offer it up. We're not looking to make this a long-term placement. Sometimes we just need it for a night until we're able to figure out their transportation. So there's ways for everyone to contribute to this network.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other callers online with questions?
All right. We got 2 minutes left. So 3057, you're on the line.
Yep, I'm here.
3057, go ahead. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Hi, how are you guys? I just wanted to briefly, I know we talked about the barter system. I wanted to briefly just give you an example of how it works. I'm currently working on a couple of missing persons cases. One in particular is high profile. And as we discussed earlier, the authorities did not offer us an iota of assistance. And the entire community came together with hound dogs, boats, ex-military, air mats. We applied so much pressure that it made national news to help find this girl. And not $1 was exchanged. Nobody really lost anything. We just organized as a big community family. And that's what I mean about the importance of community and applying pressure to the proper authorities, if you even choose to deal with that. But as a community, if you look out for each other and really are each other's keeper, we can kind of reduce some of this. We can't save everybody, but we can really make it shake if we stick to the code.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. We only got like 45 seconds left. I think all the information has been given. And I'd like to thank you guys for coming on. And I look forward to Sister Shakur coming next month.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Thank you guys for joining me tonight as well. Thank you all for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for tonight. This is Black Urban America. Thanks, Michonne, for stepping in. I want everyone to have a good night, as always. I am because we are because I am. Everyone have a good night.
Thank you.
Black Power. Have a great Black Power.
Black Power.
Not bad.